Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you to nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Ben, can I hit on a story real quick, and we can move on to some basketball and to some other things. But I'm always like, let me start this off by saying innovators, disruptors, that sort of thing, obviously exist. And those things, you know, change the world. But I'm still oftentimes skeptical of people who come in and say, this is kind of goes to your Matt Ishbia take maybe a little bit.
Okay.
But people that come in and say, oh, no, you know, all these really smart people have been doing this extremely wrong forever. And I'm going to come in and reinvent. Now, again, some people do. See the taxi cab industry and the lack thereof these days. Sure. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It happens. But how many innovators step forward and go, I got it, and they don't? It's probably like 1,000 to 1, right?
Yeah, at least 95%.
So your guy, Neon Dion,
okay,
steps in at Colorado and says, nah, you guys have been doing this wrong forever. I know. And my sheer celebrity, blah, 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 whatever his persona is going to will this team and to victory. And, you know, I'm going to sell the whole, like, God, I don't even know how to put it. I'm going to sell the whole we all rise up kind of, you know, and I'm just mentioning it because he does, like, faith in God, mm-hmm. like that is part of his persona. But yet, on the other hand, he cuts his whole team every year and is really heartless when it comes to that type of situation. Like, if you're not good enough, well, you're not going to play here and I'll find somebody that does. It kind of conflicts in my opinion, but I don't know. I never thought it was going to work. And it was interesting how it played out last year. But have you seen this? There was a player named Xavier Smith who decided to hit the transfer portal. He ended up at Austin Peay. And you could tell by where he ended up. Maybe he wasn't a
high level D1
guy. All right. But Dion went to Xavier and told him to transfer. He said no. He said, I don't want to transfer.
Yeah, I like Colorado.
Like, honestly, if players have the empowerment to go say, oh, I want to go somewhere else, shouldn't they have the empowerment to say, no, I want to stay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So then basically Dion's approach with this guy was just destroy his confidence. Treat him as if he's not actually there and run him out of town.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to this Xavier Smith dude. He tried to stay on the team. He was provided conditions where that was not going to be possible and he left. So I guess that happens. So he did an interview for The Athletic and somebody at The Athletic wrote a story for it. Shador Sanders. Shador?
Shador.
Shador, because I pronounced it wrong at Pac-12 Media Day. Oh. Shador. Took to Twitter. Or X, or the talk snapper, whatever it is. And he says, I don't even remember him, to be honest. Bro had to be very mid at best. You're the coach's son.
Yeah, right.
Like, if there's anybody out there who cannot identify with other players on the team, it's you. Therefore, I don't want to hear your opinion. You know, if the starting linebacker or something like that had said, this is just a sour grapes kind of thing. We love Dion or whatever.
Yeah.
I would totally listen to it. But if you're the coach's son, don't comment on it.
Like, you don't get to comment.
You don't get to comment on it. And you know what? He might be really good. He might be. I mean, people are talking about him as a first rounder, right? He might turn out to be a really gifted player. You're the coach's son. And in fact, at the coach's introductory press conference, he said, everybody's going to have to make the team again. Everybody's going to have to prove it. There are no free rides here. And my son's coming in and he's going to be the starter. That's what he said. He said it like the same sentence.
Yeah.
He's going to be the starter. That we know. So it just bugs me. Like, your opinion is not relevant. Shador, let alone running this guy down. God, they already ran him off the team. You really need, is it really useful to dance on this dude? All he did was gave an interview about his experience at Colorado, and that was his experience.
Well,
we know it's not yours, Shador, and your Bentley.
It makes me, it further underlines the idea that Deion is just there while his kids are there, and as soon as his kids are gone, he's going to be gone. Like, they are working as a pack, and nobody else on the team is in that pack, and it's just the Sanderses working together, and as soon as one is gone, they're all going to be gone, and Deion's little thing here, this vehicle that he has used Colorado for to get his son drafted, worked, and he left him in the dust. And there's going to be a lot of cleanup left in his wake, because you're never going to be able to replace Deion. And what he did to kind of set this identity isn't replicable. So you're going to have to reinvent yourself again, which, fine, Colorado didn't have a whole lot that they were holding on to anyways over the last decade before Deion Sanders. But, yeah, this is just a brief affair that Deion is having with Colorado. And the way he's empowered his kids makes me think that he has no intention of being there beyond them.
And listen, here, I'll defend Deion a little bit. That whole telling a player to transfer and then running him out. Every college coach does that. He's no different. You know, Kyle Whittingham, I'm sure, has done that. Kalani, I'm sure, has done that.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
I mean, everybody has done that. But don't pretend to be something different. Don't come in and say, oh, you bozos have been doing it wrong for years. I'm going to do something different. And then just do the same stuff that every coach does.
Blake Anderson. Now, they've ended up losing a lot of players since then, but one of the weird things that he said in spring football that kind of caught my eye was that he said, yeah, we only had three guys leave that we didn't want to leave. What? You know what I mean? Like, you want kids to leave? I get it. That's where we are right now.
You said the quiet part out loud, yeah.
But, like, we only had three kids leave that we wanted to leave, that we didn't want to leave. It was like, ugh. Oh, so you wanted all these other transfers to get out of town?
So you just cut all those other guys or run them off or whatever.
It's a little brutal for college sports, but I get that we moved on from that.
Guess what? Third string corner who's really struggling to make a new life for himself. Your NIL just dried up, and you're not going to play here. So figure out somewhere else to go. And he goes, but coach, I mean, I'm got a 4.0 in school. I'm really nailing it. Like,
you, I left
like
my family
Logan
to be here.
Yeah, and Logan has been really terrific for me personally. And I honestly, you know, I don't have a real better spot to go at the moment. I said, well, not my problem.
It's not what we're here for.
That sounds like a you problem. That sounds to me like not what college athletics was supposed to be about.
Correct. We're not pointing at Blake Anderson as being the leading
cause
of this.
No, everybody does it. But don't pretend to be something different.
Like Deion.
And really where you're especially not any different than any other father/coach out there. You're no different than the Little League coach that I encountered, where your kid's going to be the star pitcher. You don't say. Well, your kid just walked 4 runs in last inning. You going to march him back out there? Yeah.
He's my kid.
And then he's due up 4th next inning.
He bats cleanup. This is part of a bigger conversation, specifically with Deion in Colorado and the idea of changing a culture. And I'm just, it kind of goes back to your conversation earlier, or your thoughts on, you know, why are the Lakers bending to LeBron? You're the Lakers. You're one of the few franchises that shouldn't ever have to do this. And I've just got me thinking of trying to do it differently is how you started this topic today. And I look at what the Jazz are doing, and Danny Ainge is trying to do it differently than what Dennis Lindsay did and what Kevin O'Connor did and what the Ladens did. Like, he's trying to do something a lot different. And Ryan Smith's trying to do something a lot different. And I think part of the reason some Jazz fans have been so vocal online about the team is Ryan's tried to do a lot of things differently. Jerseys look different. Some of the game experience has been a little bit different. His willingness to lose more games than previous iterations have been, I think, has been different. His patience has been different. And I'm curious how our teams, cultures, set by something other than ownership and decision makers. Like, are teams the way that they are forever, regardless of what owner comes in and thinks, well, I'm going to change everything and I'm going to fix it and I'm going to do it differently and all these other guys have been idiots. And I'm not saying that's what Ryan Smith is doing all, but this idea of Matt Ishbia coming in and being like, well, I'm going to do it differently than Robert Sarver and every other Suns owner did.
Or every other NBA owner, period.
And then he recognizes, oh, that's futile. Like, we are the Suns. We are limited or empowered by what certain things are, which is geographic, other fan or fans in the area, what their culture is, where they're from, what other professional sports do we have in the city or state, and how does that impact it? That really, we are, don't have our own original identity. We are just a reflection of the things around us, and I do think teams pick that up.
Okay, so I think that's true in college and not at the pro level.
Okay.
In college, and granted, we're talking about ownership at the pro level. In college, we're talking about, you know, universities. But in college, like BYU will still have the same built-in advantages and disadvantages regardless of who the athletic director or coach is. Now, maybe a coach can come in and adjust around the edges, but he's not going to move the university to Southern California or change the admission standards or change the recruiting pool all that much. At Utah, Witt has not... He did not reinvent what Ronnie Mack was doing. He just honed it and improved upon it.
100%.
From recruiting pool to selling Salt Lake as a destination, all those things. He didn't change anything.
BYU is almost a bad example because they're so unique.
Right.
But there are a lot of other examples that attest to what we're talking about.
Whoever can be the coach at Southern California, they're still going to have the same advantages over everybody else. It's tough to be like... That's why I always thought running the air raid at USC was the stupidest thing ever. You don't need that. You don't need... a gimmick. You don't need a disruptor. You are the evil empire. You are the team that's bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else.
But speaking of that, but, you know, UCLA is always going to be a reflection of what they're not next to USC.
Well, because UCLA has to take USC's leftovers, so they were always going to be softer.
Yes.
And that's what they turn into, because they've got the same advantages and disadvantages regardless of who the coach is. So I think it's more consistent in college. In the pros, there are some built-in advantages and disadvantages, but so much of the pros has to do with playing the game, like navigating within the rules, the salary cap, the trades, the contracts, what's in the contracts. The best general managers are the ones that play the game the best, which makes it more ripe for disruption, in my opinion. Now, if you are, let me do a real-world local example. If you are Traeger and you want to reinvent the grilling world or jump on that wave and dominate it. Who did they bring in as part of their ownership group? I believe, if I'm wrong about this, chalk it up to fake news, but I believe it's the same guy. The Skull Candy guy. The guy that reinvented the headphone business. Great Salt Lake City companies, both of them. Shout out. Or I guess not Salt Lake City. Great Utah companies.
Yeah.
So you bring that guy in. Say, oh, man, okay, well, you took an established, you know...
Creation, a thing creation, that exists.
And you operated within the rules and really figured out something else. You know, whether it's marketing, the product itself, whatever. They're great warranty. You figured out a way to, you know, really be successful. And so Traeger's done what it's done. And they, I'm sure that guy took that expertise from Skull Candy and was like, oh, I could do this again. Danny Ainge has done what he's trying to do before. So, yeah, maybe he is doing it differently than Scott Layden or Kevin O'Connor or Dennis Lindsay or whatever. But it's not like you hired the Moneyball guy to be in your football front office. It's not like you hired Jonah Hill to be a member of the Cleveland Browns front office. You say, okay, I want you to do something differently than it's been done here with the Utah Jazz in the past. And Danny says, well, yeah, I've got a proven concept. Let me show you this year to this year when I was doing it in Boston, and this is what I did. This is what I was patient for the Kevin Garnett move, and this is how it really paid off. This is where I was lucky. This is where I planned it. This is how I was patient. This is not. This is where I made a mistake. This is where I didn't. And you've got somebody who's done it before.
Okay, but let me counter that, and because I'm just curious. And there are exceptions to this rule. And I'm really talking about zoom out 30 years, zoom out 30,000 feet. Of course, there's going to be spikes. Like, the Denver Nuggets won a title. Like, Denver Nuggets don't win titles. Denver Nuggets are historically the Denver Nuggets. Can you totally change that? Because here's what I'll say. You tell me Danny Ainge won in Boston? Yeah, Boston always wins. Like, Brad Stevens is winning in Boston. And the people before Brad Stevens won in Boston.
Sure.
Well, or before Danny.
Yeah,
now, they
didn't
win in the 90s. But
I get
like,
your point.
The 80s, they won. You're telling me the Lakers are winning? I'm shocked.
But see, in pro sports, like Detroit won forever and has been a disaster ever since. Like, you have to play the game within the rules. You have to have somebody smart making the right decisions because it's not, because your mistakes aren't covered up. Your mistakes are glaring. So, yeah, they've won a lot in Boston. Is that because it's fortuitous to win in Boston or they've had the right people at the right time. And see, you know what? See the gap between Ainge and Arbach.
Yeah,
Boston wasn't
yeah,
any
no,
good.
They weren't good in the 90s. No, there was a lot of a mess.
I mean, look at Alabama between Gene Stallings and Nick Saban. Yeah, there's a ton of built-in advantages at Alabama. And again, that's more evident in college than it is in the pros. But you still have to have somebody smart.
I just think...
They hired Don Shula's kid. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a disaster.
I feel like, for the most part, not every team, certainly not every team, but maybe 25 of the 30 NBA teams, and you could probably do this with baseball too. You could probably do it with the NFL, in all honesty. Zoom out. Go back 20 years. Or we'll do it now. Write a 3-sentence description of a franchise, like the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
Go back 20 years, and it would probably apply exactly the same to who that team was 20 years ago. Like, I just don't know how much things change in professional sports.
To your Nuggets point, they change a lot, more than you think.
And the Nuggets now are at this spike, so of course it wouldn't apply
and
to
how
the Nuggets.
And how did the Nuggets get there?
But, like, the Pretty Phoenix much... Suns are exactly who they were in the early 90s. Like, good, close, they can get stars, they might even make a run to the finals, but the breakthrough is not going to be there.
Because they hired the wrong people.
And maybe that's
Denver
all it is.
Forever hired the wrong people. I know people love Kiki Vandeweghe around here for some reason, but that guy was a moron. And frankly, Denver got lucky and absolutely blind luck getting Nikola Jokic.
Of course.
Blind luck.
Right.
But they made a series of right decisions after that that led to their championship. They traded Jusuf Nurkic when that wasn't a given. They looked at Jokic, their second round pick, and Nurkic, their established guy who they picked in the first round, yeah. I think the year before. Mm-hmm. And they moved off him super early because then that turned out to be a super smart, very smart move. They re-signed Jamal Murray, even though his injury situation wasn't great. And you couldn't look at him and say he's a max guy. They said, I don't care. We're going to max him out. Then they took advantage of Sacramento firing Michael Malone. Mm-hmm. And they said, he's a good coach. We're going to move off of, who was it? Was it Brian Shaw?
Yeah. Something, yeah.
Terrible, terrible. And they hired a really good coach. And we should talk to Locke about this tomorrow because Locke will tell you what a great trade it was, and I totally agree with him. That Aaron Gordon move turned out to be masterful.
It's the most consequential move of the last 5 years in the NBA.
It's the Pistons acquiring Rasheed Wallace. It was...
The perfect move.
The perfect move.
Yeah.
So if you look at their recipe for success, yeah, blind luck. You lucked out entirely to get the best player in the league. You got him in the second round. You didn't think it wasn't a risky pick because it was so late, but obviously you didn't believe in him that much.
No, nobody
like, oh,
did.
We're going to
yeah.
take a pudgy guy from overseas.
Right.
Like they had no idea. But after they figured it out, they had to make a series of right moves to get them over the top. Like once Philly figured it out that Joel Embiid was a guy, what have they done? Every wrong move
Everything
you could
wrong.
Possibly make.
Everything wrong.
And how many championships do they have? Zero. Is that Joel's fault or is that the franchise's fault?
Franchise.
So, yeah, I'm sure Danny would tell you, like, we're going to wait in the weeds for the right opportunity and we're going to have to get lucky, you know? We're going to have to land a Jokic in the second round or we're going to have to wait on Joel Embiid to ask out of the Sixers or have the right move for Booker or whatever. We're going to have to get lucky. We're going to have to get lucky that Sam Presti is nickel and diming James Harden. I mean, like, how lucky was Houston? I mean, I guess it didn't work out, but...
I mean, they got an MVP out of it. It absolutely worked out. They didn't win a title, but they got an MVP
right.
and a direction.
How lucky were they? How lucky were they that the Jazz weren't willing to give up on Gordon Hayward? Because that was the rumor that James Harden would have been a Jazz player if the Jazz were willing
to... Jazz had Paul Millsap and picks on the table and wouldn't throw in Gordon.
And wouldn't throw in Gordon Hayward, so they didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to get lucky, 100%. And Danny Ainge has gotten lucky in his career multiple times. But then you have to make a series of right decisions after that situation, or even before, really.
So maybe the conclusion I'm coming to in this conversation is to change your culture the way Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith are trying to with the Jazz is it's painful. It's really hard to do because it would be easy to go back to what Dennis Lindsay didn't. Look, I'm not pretending that Dennis Lindsay didn't do a good job. He drafted Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, who yeah. on our top 50 players
yeah,
of all time,
did a good job.
They were top six players, each of them.
I don't think that's what you're arguing. He did fine.
But to to break out of the cycle of the good, not great Jazz, which is who they have been, which goes back to my conversation of aren't teams just who they are. Jazz are always good, and they're never great with the exception of 2 years, and they didn't win the final, so they weren't great. They were really good. They just never broke through. To break from the good, not great, to the truly great, it probably does take some pain. And this is a pain that maybe Danny Ainge and Ryan Smith and Justin Zanuck are willing to go through that no previous iteration or ownership or management was willing to go
through. See, I don't know if I agree with that, because that's implying that Kevin O'Connor, Dennis Lindsay, and Danny Ainge somehow had a different goal. I never bought into the Larry.
Playoffs is good enough.
I've never bought into that.
Okay.
You're trying to tell me that they weren't trying to do everything they could to win a championship? I don't buy it. They were limited. Like, Kevin O'Connor had the worst contract in the league forever. And I remember a particularly awkward interview with Gordon Monson where Gordon was like, Dennis, Kevin, why don't you go get a big guy so you can beat the Lakers? And Kevin said, how am I going to do that, Gordon? You tell me and I'll go do it. And Gordon's like, oh, it's not my job to do it. Okay? It was the most awkward interview ever. But you could, the frustration from Kevin O'Connor was palpable because it's like, I'm trying. I've begged the rest of the league to take Andrei Kirilenko's contract. Nobody will do it. How am I supposed to do what you're talking about? It's not possible.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was Kevin O'Connor being like, oh, we're good enough, Gordon. Easy. Don't rock the boat, bro. Going to the second round against the Lakers is good enough. Simmer down now. I don't think that was ever the thing. I certainly don't think that was ever a thing with Dennis. I think Dennis legit thought he had magic in a bottle with Donovan and Rudy, and that they were a couple of moves away from being a contender. And actually, I don't think he was wrong. I just don't think they made the right moves.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think Danny may be trying to do it differently, but I don't think it's, well, those guys didn't endure enough pain. Maybe that wasn't their strategy, but I don't think that there's one right way to do anything. In fact, the way Kevin O'Connor flipped from the Karl Malone, John Stockton to the Booze Williams era was nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah, it was masterful. Yeah, it was great work.
He did it in 2 years. What took the Chicago Bulls? The Chicago Bulls still haven't done it.
Yeah, they had one year.
Yeah, right.
They had 1 year.
So, I mean, that's amazing. And he thought with the right motivation and resources and moves, we can be right back on top. And he was pert near right. Made it to the Western Conference Finals, which is really good. Didn't get over the hump, but who does? Danny Ainge has once.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm defending the past too much. Maybe they were. But I've never believed that playoffs is good enough. They just want to go to the playoffs. That's it. I've never believed that. Maybe that's the disruption that Kevin O'Connor got wrong. Like, everybody else has to go through 4 or 5 years of sucking to be good again. And he said, no, I don't think so. Watch me do it. And he did it.
He did it, yeah. And they got back to the conference finals.
And Dennis went through a painful rebuild. You're also forgetting about the Ty Corbin year. Actually, years. I count his last two. And then how long did it take Quinn Snyder to have an over 500 team? It was at least 3 years.
It was 3 years, yeah.
That's 5 years
mm-hmm.
of pretty painful stuff. We're on year two of painful stuff. So I don't know if Dennis didn't have the stomach for it. Seems to me he kind of did it. So I don't think there's any guarantee that this works.
No, there's not at all.
Because they're so bad. But I don't think this is anything that they actually haven't tried before.
So again, maybe it goes back then to my thesis that maybe you just are who you are.
I don't think so, or Denver wouldn't have won a title. Denver was the laughingstock of the NBA for 30 years.
Yeah. And, you know,
San Antonio wouldn't have had a dynasty.
So is your whole system based on luck? That lucky, I mean, maybe that's all it is. It's just luck. It's that David Robinson gets hurt, so you decide to tank and you do win the lottery and get Tim Duncan.
Luckiest thing that's ever happened in sports.
And
how about Cleveland has a title because they were lucky that LeBron James down the road.
And would play there. Right, absolutely. Oh, I mean, the only reason we're talking about Denver is they luckily drafted the best player in the NBA in the second round. That's it. Not they weren't better at it. And you know what? Aaron Gordon wasn't good in Orlando. He was good. He wasn't
a number one. And Denver said, come here and be our number four on offense and our number one on defense.
And
he said, I could do that.
Guess what? That's not any different than he actually was in Orlando. That's just not how they played him.
Right.
It's not like he's gotten significantly better.
No.
He has in some ways. But he looks better because he's playing next to Nikola Jokic. Does Jamal Murray look so good? Well, he's playing next to Nikola Jokic. If you didn't have Jokic on that team, Jamal wouldn't be anything anyone talked about. With all due respect, he's good, not great. So all it is luck of just getting the right guy in the right spot however you get him.
I mean, Denver was lucky that Orlando drafted Aaron Gordon to be Paolo Banchero, and he's not.
So, again, go back to my thesis that maybe you just are who you are with the exception of luck every three decades.
I think you got to be in position to be lucky. You know what I mean?
And then not squander it once you do get lucky.
And then once you get it, yeah. You got to be in the position to take advantage of opportunities when something falls into your plate. And the best player in the league falling into your lap in the second round had never happened before and will never happen again. So I wouldn't count on that one. But yeah, they're 100% going to have to be lucky. They were lucky that Rudy Gobert was so awkward looking when he was young.
Yeah.
Because it scared every other team in the league off.
Mm-hmm.
They're lucky that Donovan is 6'1 and not 6'4, because if he were 6'4, he wouldn't have gone, what'd they get him at, 12, 13?
14, 13, yeah, whatever it was, yeah.
He would have gone too.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get lucky that Malik Monk caught Michael Jordan's eye. I mean, I know that doesn't make for a good sports radio topic, and fans certainly don't want to hear that you have to wait for your opportunity. You have to wait to get lucky. You have to be in the position. San Antonio was lucky again with Wemby.
Yeah, they've been lucky three times. David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and Wemby. It's crazy. They just got luckier than everybody else.
The Kings have drafted in the top 10
50 times.
30 years.
Yep.
And can't get it right.
Yeah, right. Never gotten it right.
Can't get it right. So, I mean, it is a combination of being well-run and luck. But once you get the luck, that's why it's so hard. Because once you get the luck, you have to make the next five moves that make you able to take advantage of it. Again, you can make an argument that Joel Embiid is as good as Nikola Jokic. You can make the argument. I'm not saying either one way or another.
You can absolutely make the argument.
But Philadelphia has been so bad after drafting Joel Embiid with every roster move that they made outside of drafting Tyrese Maxey, which again was lucky, that they're nowhere near a title. Are you kidding?
Yeah, they're not close.
So, I don't know. The NBA is tough, but I get frustrated with what's the plan? The plan is to be ready.
Yeah.
The plan is to be ready to roll.
Luck hits.
And when you identify a guy or you get a guy or you draft Donovan Mitchell at 14 and you think he's a guy, well, what's next? And we all love Mike Conley, but that wasn't the move that put them over the top.
No, it didn't. It didn't work.
There could have been a move out there maybe that would have worked. But that wasn't it.
They did not make it.
Signing Bojan Bogdanovic wasn't it.
Yeah. Good players did not make the difference.
Nope. I admire taking a swing at it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it.
It's better than not trying.
Well, sometimes. No, honestly, sometimes.
Yeah. That was. Those were both better than not doing anything.
I don't know. If they would have not made the mic move and saved that ammunition for something else, I think it might have worked.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And again, enjoyed watching him play. And hey, swing and a miss, but I think they could have used that ammo on something more effective. Leaned into their defensive culture. Speaking of culture.
Yeah.
I oftentimes, though, think culture is kind of something that's a little bit overrated. I get, you know, heat culture and all that, and I do think culture is more important at the collegiate level.
Oh, Rudy Gobert punched a teammate last year in the playoffs. Jaden McDaniels broke his hand. He was so mad he walked out of the arena and punched a wall. Their culture was horrendous.
But what was the Rudy Donovan culture? What was their culture? They didn't really have one.
Yeah, never really had one.
They had one for a minute when they were the best defensive team in the league.
Yeah.
And Jay Crowder was out there raining bricks, but sliding under guys on the other end, at least. They had a culture then. All right, stay tuned. We'll have more coming up. Oh, What You Got Wednesday is next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. I want to remind you to stop by and say hi to Hans and Scotty G. Yes, the 97th best football player in BYU history, Hans Olsen. And Scott Girard, broadcasting live from Spa Treve in Saratoga Springs, 1022 North Redwood Road, coming up tomorrow from noon to 3. Grab a sandwich from Gandolfo's and find out how to about great sports specials from Spa Treve. If you want a sandwich, I'd suggest you get there early because, well, you never know with Hans. Could be hungry.
Yeah, there's not going to be any food left.
Time for What You Got Wednesday, where Ben and I compete head-to-head in a five-selection draft of two subject matters, one sports-related, one not. Ben creamed me in both of last week's categories.
What were our categories last week?
Best second chances in sports. You won 73-27. And best Utah NHL team names. You won 74-26.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take it.
Today's sports-related topic is
best Knicks and 76ers players.
We have a hell of a series going on right now. One of the best I remember in my lifetime. This is a just huge shots, gets to the clutch parts of the game, and nobody's missing shots. So we're drafting the best Knicks and 76ers of all time. You have the number one overall pick, and my question as always is there an obvious choice?
I think so. I'm going to go number one, Dr. J.
Okay. I mean,
he's Dr. J.
He's Dr. J. When I think of the Philadelphia 76ers, that is who I think of.
He was the best player in the league, at least for some time. I don't know if you can say that about anybody else on this list, with maybe one minor exception.
Okay, Dr. J, Jake's number one pick, Dr. J. Mine, I actually think this is the obvious name. If you want to veto this, you can. But I'm going to go with Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, it was the Philadelphia Warriors before they changed their name or moved to Golden State or however that worked, but he was in Philadelphia. Wilt Chamberlain.
Kind of.
Do you have an issue with that?
I mean, I guess he was part of the franchise. I don't know. Was he really famous for being a Sixer?
He wasn't ever a Sixer. That's kind of the issue here, is he was a Philadelphia Warrior and then they moved to San Francisco in his fourth season. So if you don't like Wilt Chamberlain as a, but it's where Philadelphia started. Oh, and then he was, excuse me, in the late 60s, he went back to Philly before he became a Laker.
All right.
So yes, Wilt Chamberlain. He won MVP 3 times in Philly. 4 times overall. 3 times with the 76ers. So Wilt Chamberlain.
All right. I'm going to go with Walt Frazier.
Okay. The coolest player next to Dr. J on this list. Those might be the two coolest players in NBA history. Dr. J was awesome. Walt Frazier was the coolest player ever.
Walt Frazier.
Yeah. Had the nickname Clyde because of how cool he dressed, and they were thinking of Bonnie and Clyde. I'm going to go with Allen Iverson. We've had a little bit of revisionist history, I think, on how good Allen Iverson was. I get it. He was unbelievably unstoppable as a guard. Got that team to the finals in what was a terrible Eastern Conference at that time, too, before LeBron came in and really took over the East and ran it. And AI was very far from perfect. But Allen Iverson, he won an MVP. One of the greatest small players of all time, AI.
I always kind of liked AI because he was from Tidewater, Virginia. But I hate what he did to the league.
Okay.
He was the first ball hog point guard, and he inspired a series of ball hog point guards that still last to this day. And
yeah,
I find it obnoxious.
It's fine.
But sure. Yeah, like I said, I've always kind of liked
AI. Great player, but...
But yeah, I don't like the... You know, like the legacy he left on the league is not really my favorite. All right, I'm going to take Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Joel is better than AI, actually. I probably should have just taken Joel.
I think so, too.
AI did get them to the finals, like we
he
said.
He did.
And his career is complete.
Did AI have an MVP?
He won an MVP.
Did he?
But if I were drafting the two, as far as building a team around, everybody takes Joel 10 times out of 10.
I would think so.
Man, I don't want to take any Knicks. Again, this is my argument about Patrick Ewing was not as great as we... He's probably the best Knick of all time. I don't know if I've ever seen him play better than I've seen Jalen Brunson over the last couple of weeks, but give me Pat Ewing, regrettably.
You took him before Jalen Brunson.
Well, career-wise, yes.
Yeah.
He's had a better career
than
Jalen Brunson.
You don't even believe your own argument.
But at his peak, which is what my argument was, I think at his peak, Jalen Brunson is as good as any Knick I've ever seen and probably better. This run from Jalen Brunson is better than what I saw from Pat Ewing.
Okay.
What number is this for Jake? 4?
I'm going to go with William, don't call me Bill, Bradley.
Okay. Nearly vice president.
2 titles. And yeah. The Knicks don't win titles. And he has 2 titles as a member of the New York Knicks.
Nearly replaced Al Gore on that second ticket. To give Bill a little energy.
He did
energy.
Have a second birth as a politician, but I'm going to go with Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley. Number 4 for me, I'm going to go with Mr. Infamous. Give me Willis Reed.
No, he's only famous for coming back in being hurt.
Yeah, but also won 2 titles, right? Was
yeah,
on those
did.
Teams
no,
as well.
It's not a bad pick.
Willis Reed.
All right, my final pick, the round mound of rebound. Charles Barkley.
Yeah. That is going to get you a lot of votes. More votes than who my 5th name is going to be.
Well, real quick on Charles, I would absolutely make the argument the peak of his career came in Philly as well. Some people will tell you Phoenix, but that's ridiculous.
I mean, he won an MVP in Phoenix and took him to the finals.
He was better when he was in Philly. But as usual, Philly is horribly run, and he was on some just terrible teams.
Give me... Only because of the movie He Got Game, Earl Monroe, The Pearl, Rookie of the Year. This was actually in Baltimore before he got to the Knicks. 24 points a game. But
he's got a great nickname.
Earl the Pearl Monroe. Very cool. And also won a couple of titles. Or won the 1973 title with the Knicks. And is one of the 75 greatest players of all time. Made the list. So give me Earl Monroe, The Pearl.
The Pearl. All right.
You want to recap?
Yeah, we can recap. Should we just do sports this week? Maybe skip the non-sports
one? No, we can fly through the non-sports one. We're all right.
Okay, all right. Quick recap. Jake, you had 1, Dr. J, 2, Walt Frazier, 3, Joel Embiid, 4, Bill Bradley, 5, Charles Barkley. Ben, you had 1, Wilt Chamberlain, 2, Allen Iverson, 3, Patrick Ewing, 4, Willis Reed, and 5, Earl Monroe.
This is going to be close. I don't know who's going to win. Charles Barkley being 5th on your list might seal it for you.
I thought I got a lot of value from 5.
Yes, yeah, you did.
With Sir Charles.
You did.
Okay, what's our not sports?
All right, in honor of May 4th coming up, we're doing best Star Wars characters.
For May the 4th be with you.
Okay.
Jake?
I feel like there's...
Is there a number one pick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Sarah, do you think there's an obvious number one pick here?
I think so, but mine might be different than others.
Okay.
Well, that's not an obvious number one pick then. Darth Vader.
Okay. That's who I would have taken.
That's the obvious number one pick.
I do think there's another obvious number one pick. But I would have.
You just
I
said
taken
you would have taken Darth Vader.
I would have. I think this is 50-50. Now, maybe I'm way off because I'm actually not the biggest Star Wars guy as far as like understanding the culture and what people vote for. My number one pick is going to be Han Solo. He's the coolest guy.
Well, he's the probably the most popular protagonist, sure.
Sarah, who would you have taken?
I would have picked Chewbacca.
Well, now you've spoiled it.
Yeah. I'm not going to take Chewie. I'm going to take Princess Leia.
Okay.
For Return of the Jedi alone.
Yeah, Princess Leia rules. It doesn't work without her. All right, number 2, I'm going to go Yoda. That's good value for Yoda at 2. The 4th player off the board.
Now I'll take Chewbacca.
Okay, Chewie's great. I should go with a villain. Give me Darth Maul. Even though he's barely in it. But
he's
the
like
hype
not even...
machine for him was so huge. The hype machine was better than the character.
He was, he's like way down on my villain list even.
I'm the hype in the early night or in the early 2000s when he was coming out was such a huge deal. And he never really kind of figured it out.
Yeah, we could talk about it later. I have other villains higher than Darth Maul even. I'm going to go with Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is awesome in, of course, the original Star Wars. But I thought Ewan McGregor was a terrific cast for him in the crappy reboots.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, I guess I got to go with Luke. Someone's got to take Luke, right?
I wasn't going to take Luke.
Someone's got to take Luke.
He's such a whiner.
He's a pencil neck. I get it. Like,
such a whiner.
Yeah, but someone's got to take Luke. I'll take Luke.
What is this for me, Sarah? 5, this is it?
So your last pick? I feel like we've each missed a pick.
Oh, man. Because now, do I go with...
I've got 2 choices, and I'll just take whoever you don't take, assuming that these are the 2.
Probably not. I'm going to go with... Oh, man. Now I'm really torn here. Ben, let's go with... Kyle, everybody loved this stupid robot. I'm going to go away from my instincts. Okay. I would have made a different pick if this wasn't number 5. R2-D2.
That was one of my 2. That was one of the 2 I was going to take. R2's cool. R2 is cool. He's the best of the robots. I know BB-8 had a big moment late, but R2-D2 is way cooler. Give me Lando. Lando Calrissian. He's like the charismatic guy. He's like cool.
Kind of.
He's cool.
Kind of.
I like Lando.
All right. Well, I'd take at least 2 villains before Darth Maul. The Emperor Palpatine.
Okay.
Or Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba is
both
very good.
Both better than Darth Maul.
Jabba is good.
What about what's the robot dude with all the arms? You know what I'm talking about?
General something, yeah.
Oh, Grievous?
Yes. Even him, I would probably take over Darth Maul.
I was going to have a tough time taking characters from the newer ones. I mean,
it needed some representation. Jabba's better. You're right, Jabba's better. I probably should have taken Jabba.
I was thinking of taking Jabba. With 5, though, I felt like I got a lot of value out of R2. I feel like I'll get a lot of votes out of that.
No one went with Ben Kenobi?
I did, too. I selected Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, you took Obi-Wan?
Yes, I did. And then I followed that up with, if my analysis was, he was cool in the originals, and Ewan McGregor was the perfect cast for him in the reboot.
I was going through my list. I apologize.
Also, C-3PO, he's funny.
He's a dweeb, though. He's a dweeb.
Yeah, but that's what makes him endearing.
I couldn't take Luke and C-3PO and have 2 dweebs on my team.
Stay tuned. We'll wrap up the show.
Do you
want to
recap?
Oh, yeah, we probably should. Sorry, we're over.
All right, really quick. Jake, 1, Darth Vader. 2, Princess Leia. 3, Chewie. 4, Obi-Wan. And 5, R2-D2. Ben, you had 1, Han Solo. 2, Yoda. 3, Darth Maul. 4, Luke Skywalker. And 5, Lando.
I think you're going to win that one. You might win both. It was a good draft.
Stay tuned. Wrapping it up next, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two amigos on the airways, talking sports. They got him and Jake's Alonso, loves his tie guy. Ben's got style with his scarves. Oh my...
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Wrapping up a Wednesday, our 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Jason tweets in about our draft with the Star Wars. He says, you two totally missed out by not taking Rey, Kylo Ren, and Han's favorite, Jar Jar Binks.
I think it's Jar Jar.
Jar Jar.
Does Han's call him Jar Jar?
He might. I don't know. I watched all the new ones. I've only seen them once, and I didn't really feel the attachment. I'm not a huge Star Wars guy either, although I did love the original 3. So, yeah, maybe we missed on those. But for some reason, I didn't identify with those movies. Maybe it's how old I am. You know what I mean? when I saw the original movies. I was young. It's sure. kind of when you're romantic about that sort of thing. But I didn't really consider those.
I like the latest. I like the not newest, but not the early 2000s ones, which I get a lot of people have a place for, and that's fine. But like there was that run when they first came back, and they made two or three that I thought were really good, and then they do what Disney always does and whoever always does. It's just like they just jumped the shark. They just were like, oh, well, we have this IP, and we're going to keep making this and spinoffs and Mandalorians and the Han Solo movie and all these different individual people that are like, yeah, part of the lore. But one of the cool things about Star Wars was there was three movies, and for 35 years, that was all there was, and they were like kind of sacred. And they've lost that sacred feeling because now every character has a TV show.
Well, yeah, George Lucas sold out.
Yeah.
He sold out the first time by making three more movies because the payday was going to be so big. And then he sold the IP to Disney for $1 billion or whatever.
No, good for him. He donated all that money to the education system. That was awesome. Like all of his money.
Did he?
I think he gave it to the Florida education system.
Yeah, Skywalker Ranch still seems to be pretty. I don't know if he gave all of
not penniless, but he gave like $4 billion, something absurd. Yeah. Pro George Lucas. That was a good
one. In the same way that LeBron built a school in Cleveland?
No, but actually better. And I am good. Yeah, build schools. You know what, LeBron? Build schools. Fund schools.
He kind of didn't actually fund the school, though, which is why I make the joke. All right. Did we miss anybody, Sarah, on the draft? You're a Star Wars person. Should we?
I'm not that big of a Star Wars. I've been having to look up names because I keep forgetting who's who. But I remember seeing them growing up, and my favorite color is purple. And so I really liked Mace Windu, the guy with the purple lightsaber.
Yeah.
So I probably would have picked. Mine would have been a very niche draft.
Which might have won because the Star Wars dweebs out there are like.
Like everybody seems to like Boba Fett, even though he's in the movies for like 30 seconds.
The little characters that like steal things. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
The Jawas?
Yeah, the Jawas.
We didn't take any Ewoks.
Wicket?
Yeah. Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Whatever they're called. Whatever those things are.
Well, I even know the actor who played Wicket.
Yeah. We didn't take any of the big robots, the walkers, the drones. We didn't take any of that stuff.
Did you ever see the Ewoks movie with Wilford Brimley?
I have seen it. Yeah.
Amazing.
When I was very little.
Amazing.
Probably wasn't.
Or the Stormtroopers, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure the nerds will be up in arms. All right, stay tuned. Hans and Scotty G are coming up right around the corner. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks,
Jake
Sarah.
And Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.